Today, I'm going to revisit this issue of education. I've spoken on it many times in sermons, on the radio, on the internet, and I really doubt there would be anyone in this congregation which won't be in agreement with me in everything I say, probably. But review is good, and we will pray that this message may impact many outside the walls of this church and impact them and be for the glory of God and the good of his people. Now, the issue before us is the education of children. I want to define what I mean by children. I mean by children those under the age of what we all and the civil government see as the age of an emancipated adult, that is 18 years of age. Now, certainly some children, although not many these days in this country, are adults in many ways prior to the age of 18 or thereabouts. I say thereabouts because, of course, many of us went through our schooling and we were still 17 and we went into the world as far as taking on the responsibilities of adulthood. But I say thereabouts. But at 18, one is legally an adult and also ready, one would hope, to take on fully the responsibilities of an adult. Again, there have been many over the course of history that have been far younger and become adults very quickly sometimes and certainly took on all the responsibilities of an adult. But we're talking about a definition. And 18 is the threshold of adulthood legally and the mark we usually look at. It's the duty of parents to prepare a child not only for the duties of adulthood, but to face the challenges and the temptations and the dangers that are in the world. And going against the grain of modern opinion, I believe college and university students ought to act as adults. They ought to be treated as adults. They ought to be held responsible as adults. They ought to take responsibility for their own actions and their own education as adults. I'm not saying a parent could never help a child over 18, just like he could help a child that's not going to college over 18. They ought not to be spoiled. But I'm saying, you know, I'm going against the public opinion, I suppose. But there's all this, I don't know when it shifted to this, but suddenly you're an adult when you're 18. You can fight for your country. That's fine because you're not a college child, I guess. But if you're going to college, then you're not an adult. And mommy and daddy will take care of everything for you. And that's the way it's become, you see. And I don't agree with it. I really don't agree with it. So there ought not to be a double standard. Remember the old draft. If you were going to college, oh, you didn't have to go in the military. If you weren't going to college, you have to go in the military. You see, that's not right. Now, I'll be speaking then of the education of underage children. I want to make that clear. That is under the age of 18 or thereabouts. Some of what I say then will not be relevant to the education of an adult in a university or tech school or in the military or in the building trades and so forth. Our education goes on, doesn't it? What I mean is Christian adults must go into the world and they're in the world, though not of the world. And so whether in the military or on the job or at a tech school or depending on the course of study pursued and the particular school in a university or a college, Christian adults will come to one extent or another under the teaching of non-Christians. So it's a different situation than underage children, because underage children of Christian parents ought never to come under the teaching of non-Christians, ever. Now, I'm going to speak very strongly on this issue of education, or at least some people will think who will hear this message in other ways that I'm speaking very strongly. Well, there's much at stake. And this is not 1970. This is not 1980. This is not 1990. This is 2011. Christian schooling in America, in home schools and Christian schools, is even legally protected now. That was not the case years ago. And of course, some states have better laws than others, but it's for all intents and purposes, it's legally protected. And every Christian parent is well aware of homeschooling and Christian schooling, which was not the case at one time. In fact, at one time, there weren't evangelical Christian schools. I'm not saying they're all good schools, but I'm just saying there weren't. There were Catholic schools, Lutheran schools, and I suppose a few evangelical schools scattered here and there. I'm talking about for underage children, but certainly couldn't have been too many. Now, further, there is a wide, a broad, a deep Christian education movement, and there are many fine materials and curriculums available for homeschoolers, including interactive courses with Christian educators on video, on DVD, on the internet, and by satellite. So I'm saying I'm going to speak very strongly on this. I think I would no matter what, but I'm just saying, look at the context of these remarks. Now, finally, I'll speak strongly because I don't believe the state school system was ever a good place for children, ever. It wasn't when I was a child, but in the past 50 years or so, it's been a steady downgrade and it's degenerated down to being nothing but a filthy cesspool and a propaganda instrument for, just sum it up, the devil. That's the best way. We can just sum it up and save time. And I want to give one very important clarification. I'm not going to be addressing in this message the specific spiritual, religious education of children in the church and the home. The issue I want to address with the Lord's help is this question. Should the children of Christian parents be educated in the state school system? Should those children be put into the government school system for their academic education? The answer is a resounding no. All caps. Because what does the Word of God teach? That's what we need to base our answer on, and that's why I say a resounding no. And further, I will state right now that this is not an issue where Christians can agree to disagree on. I don't think I should yield to anyone on this that says, well, wait a minute, brother, I think it's an option. I don't. I will not agree to disagree, and no pastor should, when it comes to the education of children, that maybe they can be in the government school system. Not according to the Bible. Not according to what the scriptures say, and we must let the Bible speak. It's also an issue where we just have to speak very plainly because the scriptures are plain on this matter. And there's so much at stake for parents, for children, and for the church which Christ hath purchased with his own blood. I don't believe that even in the best of times, Christians should send their children into the state school system, since the academic education of children ought never to be divorced from the spiritual, religious, and moral education of impressionable, vulnerable young people. A child's academic education must be permeated through and through with spiritual and heavenly wisdom and knowledge and moral teaching, as the Bible defines morality. We see that throughout the scriptures. Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7 is one example I'll give you. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. And so when you think about that, the children being so subjected, and I say that in a good way, to spiritual and heavenly wisdom constantly throughout their day in their education, as opposed to going into a government school system, which is not even amoral anymore, it's immoral. And you just can't look at the scriptures and say, this is justified. It is not. Now, these are far from the best of times. And I believe there's something very wrong when Christians will commit their children to the daily care and influence and education of atheists, apostates, idolaters, God-haters, homosexuals, and open fornicators. There is something wrong when pastors will silently stand by as the lambs of their flock are given over to such people. No, not all government school teachers fit those categories. How many have to? It's undeniable there are many who do. And it's beyond controversy that every child who goes through the government school system will be taught and come under the influence of more than one such wicked individual. But to back away just a bit from those characters that I listed, those types, what about those teachers who are just very worldly and unsaved? Let's say they're married, decent people, but they're unsaved and they're worldly. We're talking about underage, impressionable children. Should Christian children, we say Christian children, some saved, some not, but from Christian families, should they come under the influence and example of worldly, unsaved teachers? Children being trained up should, and they are being trained up in their education. Should they be under a person who's worldly and unsaved? Are we not to train up a child in the way he should go? Will such a person do that? And then finally, you have to look at the whole school system as a person. It's a person, in a sense. Because when it comes to the education of the children in that system, each teacher is under obligation to adhere to a certain philosophy and worldview in their teaching. So there is a group philosophy. There is a group worldview. They all have to adhere to that. So the system is a person in that sense, reflecting and teaching together uniformly this corrupt worldview that they do and that humanist, immoral philosophy that they do. Now, it should be beyond controversy among Christians that children in the government school system are taught by a system that denies and mocks the Word of God, beginning with the very first verse of the Scriptures. How bad does it have to get, Christian parents? The system mocks God and denies Him. The very first verse of the Scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God, not time and chance. So you're dealing with a system that mocks the Word of God from the very first word. And so any Christian parent who didn't realize that should now, if they just heard this, that one simple truth that they deny, they being the government school system and the teachers, they deny the very first verse of the Scriptures and God is creator. That carries with it, that simple truth, your duty to remove your child from the state school system. If you do not, you are accountable to God, you are guilty before God, you are living in sin. That is your obligation now. But I want to go on and be more plain and specific. Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. They're heritage of the Lord. It's what the Lord gives. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. His reward. Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14, speaking of a situation where there's an unbelieving spouse, a husband or a wife, and a believer. What do you do? People were asking that question of Paul. And I just want to direct your attention to this one verse in his answer. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by her husband. By the husband, else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. So in other words, God views the children, because there's a Christian parent, she or he has become saved, cannot help it that there's an unbeliever at this point. But to God, He sees those children as belonging to one of His children, so to speak. And so in that sense, they're special, they're sanctified, they're holy. He views them that way. And so when you think about this now, the heritage of the Lord, His reward, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. These are holy unto the Lord, these children. When you think about that, then Christian fathers have a holy duty to see that their children are brought up properly, educated properly in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They have a holy duty to protect their children from the lies of the devil. They have a holy duty to protect their children from the wicked, wretched foolishness of those who claim to be wise, but they deny the true God and his truth. I mean, they're fools. I'm talking about an education system which teaches evolution, humanist philosophy. What does God's word say of such people? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1:22. Then Psalm 53, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Does this sound like people that you should commit your children to for education? Fools? Who should educate my child? Well, I'll go out and find a fool. I'll have him do it. Who should educate this child of mine, which is given to me from the Lord, that I'm to bring up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, which the Lord sees as holy, because I belong to the Lord? I'll find a fool. I'll find someone who says there is no God. I'll find someone who's corrupt. That's who I'll find to educate my child. Well, of course not. That's sin. Proverbs 14, verse 9, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. That, too, is common fare in the government school system, mocking at sin, mocking at holy things, mocking at the right way in God's law. It has no place in the government school system. Not anymore. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There's no fear of the Lord in the government school system. Certainly the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge of him, but it's also the key that unlocks the door to all knowledge, to understanding it in the light of God's sovereign ordering of all things and him as the creator. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Should you have your child sent to a fool then, who doesn't have the fear of the Lord? How can it not be sin for a Christian to voluntarily and knowingly give his child to God-denying fools to be educated? Proverbs 26, verse 6. There's this warning. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. If that's true of those who send a message by the hand of a fool, how much more so is it true for those who send their children to the fool to be educated? That's more than a message that they're putting into the hand of a fool. That's their child to be educated. To be educated by God-denying, God-blaspheming fools. Proverbs 14, verse 7. Couldn't be clearer. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. It's a foolish man that says there is no God. It's a foolish man who denies God as the sovereign creator and governor of all things. What sort of reckless nonsense and disobedience is it if we ourselves as grown-ups remove ourselves from the presence of a fool, but at the same time we commit our impressionable children to the instruction of a fool? And if evil communications corrupt good manners, what about when that evil communications involves a vulnerable child, an underage young person in his formative years, being instructed by wicked men and women who deny the truth of God and blaspheme God with their understanding, their opinion on evolution, for instance, and so on and so forth? And then what about the biblical precepts concerning, yes, morality and family, but also government, law, economics, the ordering of civil society? Have we not seen what happens when God's precepts are left out of government, law, economics, and the ordering of civil society? What will they be taught in the government school system? Your children, they will not be taught God's precepts concerning those essential matters. Those aren't taught in the state school system, according to the precepts given by our eternal creator, governor, and judge, quite the contrary. So how can it not be sin then, dereliction of parental responsibility to turn children over to be discipled in the wisdom of the world concerning these essential matters? The wisdom of the world, you know what the wisdom of the world is. It's foolish, devilish, and destructive. You know it's the philosophy of rebellion, anarchy, and bondage. And will you put your children under that sort of education, that sort of instructor? Now, Christian parents, especially fathers, are responsible to see that their children are brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Sending children to the state school system is the antithesis of obedience in that regard. The state school system does not teach reverential fear of the Lord, and rather than the admonition of the Lord, children are admonished in example and word to follow the way and the wisdom, so-called, of the world. And I mentioned evil communications with regard to teachers and administrators in the state school system. But what about the lost young people from the world's families, which make up the vast majority of the student population? You know, we love their souls. We mourn their condition. We desire to see them saved. We strive to make the gospel known to them, these young people. But it's absolute sin for Christians to send their children in among them for 7 or 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, to live, to work, to converse, to eat, and to have recreation with. It's a clear violation of the Word of God, and it's a showing of contempt for this warning, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, which I have already alluded to. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. That is an objective truth from the Word of God. Be not deceived. Don't deceive yourself. Oh, I can send my child in there, no problem. Well, let God be true and every man a liar. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, it's very common knowledge that many of the world's children at a very young age are well acquainted with pornography, and in some cases, even the pornographic lifestyles of ungodly, perverted parents. It's common knowledge, and I'm sorry to have to speak so plainly. The younger children aren't here. I still don't like to have to do it, but it's common knowledge that many of the world's children at a young age are even involved in sexual immorality. And it's obvious that the halls of the state schools are far from free of graphic sexual talk and pornography, including pictures of students themselves circulated among their peers. Now, any Christian father who sends his child into such a situation, such an environment, such an institution, sins against his children and the Lord himself. And to one extent or another, in the atmosphere I just described, his children will be corrupted to one extent or another. Some won't be corrupted so much. Some will be corrupted a great deal. Some even to the point of falling into immorality and rebellion themselves. And if you deny that plain truth and that proven fact and that word of God, which plainly states, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners, then you are in rebellion. And I don't apologize for any of this, not for one word of any of this. It's all true. And I challenge anyone that hears it, if you don't think I'm speaking truth, no matter when they hear this or how they hear it, show me from the Word of God where I'm wrong. You have to refute these scriptures. I'd be happy to debate anyone on this issue, and I won't yield to anyone. Not when we have the Word of God so plain. And no Christian parent should stoop to the excuse that their children are believers. My child's a believer. He's strong enough to be daily dipped in the moral filth of the state school system. He's strong enough to be daily subjugated and subjected, I should say, probably, it's both true, to both subtle and outright brainwashing in the ways of the ungodly. The scriptures are clear regarding how children are to be trained and educated. That is objective truth in itself. That excuse, my child is strong enough, is irrelevant, first of all. Second of all, it's not true. It's not true. And the Word of God tells us to flee such temptations as the state school system overflow with. But I say it's not true. Every child will be corrupted to one extent or another, a lot or a little, corrupted nevertheless. Christian adults have to go out into the world. But even then, we're not to purposely go where sensuality and temptations are rife. So to daily send a child purposely into a situation which is sexually charged and filthy, and where vile language and filthy talk is heard, not to mention where filthy conduct sometimes takes place and filthy pictures are passed around, that's sin. That is just sin. We have to call it what it is. The children of Christian parents are holy unto the Lord. There's no excuse for putting such children into an unholy situation like the state school system. And then there's that excuse I mentioned, my child is strong enough to be put into moral filth. There is no child that can weather 12 years in the government school system without stumbling in various ways, at least in his mind. So, oh, my child is strong enough. So you put your child into a situation where at the very least they're going to have a tremendous spiritual struggle in their heart and in their mind with the corruption they've been subjected to. We all sin, but I say woe to those who willingly and stubbornly place children in this filthy, ungodly environment where they most certainly will sin. Does not the Bible warn us about this? To be stumbling blocks, to put sin and temptation in the way of brethren? What about our children? And that brings me to my next point. I've been talking about what we could call the negative side of this issue. You know, thou shalt not. We've been talking about the corruption, temptation of children. But Christian parents are to do more than protect their children from filth and evil communication and education in the philosophy and the ways and the errors of the world. Let me give you some scripture. Colossians 3, verse 17, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Colossians 3, 23 and 24, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Yes, I know the immediate context is servants. Certainly it applies to parents as well. "Whatsoever ye do, including with your children, you're to do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." You cannot tell me you're doing it unto the Lord when you give your children over to God-haters to educate them and to corrupt them. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, "Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God," we're told. Now, Christian parents have a higher duty and a higher calling than protecting their children from sin and corruption. It goes higher than that. Christian parents have a duty to glorify the Lord through their children. That is, they have a duty to raise up children which will bring glory to the Lord. We're to raise them up in a way that will bring glory to the Lord and train them to serve him with their whole hearts. So that requires a thoroughly Christian education in either a home school or a solid godly church school or a combination of the two. It rules out completely the ungodly state school system. It rules the system out because it's against the Lord and his word. It's a system of immorality and ungodliness, and it's a system that also does a very poor job of educating children, by the way. Now, the duty of Christian parents, though, is what I'm getting at, is not found simply in not doing certain things. It's also found in doing things, including teaching their children how to learn. We have to teach our children how to learn, in teaching and educating them well, in training them in the way of wisdom and knowledge, in teaching them good habits, in feeding them the Word of God, in giving them a good academic education, in permeating their education with spiritual things, and in nurturing them day by day in the Christian life. So it's not just what we don't do, it's what we do. It's not just that we try to keep our children in some sort of a sterile vacuum, and then there they sit. It's that we must also do everything for the glory of God with all our might. And so we're to educate them thoroughly in an academic sense, in a spiritual sense, in a moral sense, and teach them how to live in this world in a way that will bring glory to God. Teach them good work habits. Teach them all the things they need to know, even how to be gracious and polite and respect authority and things like this. The aim is to raise up children who love the Lord and seek after his holiness. Now, I realize the Holy Spirit must save their souls. He does the work, but we have our part, our obligations. We need to train up children properly. As I mentioned, even when it comes to good work habits, when it comes to a good, solid, comprehensive education, when it comes to true wisdom, true knowledge, true understanding in both spiritual and temporal matters, we need to train them up thoroughly and properly. I mean, we're not setting as our goal, to use hyperbole, that we raise up holy idiots. We want children that are thoroughly well-trained for the glory of God, well-educated in every way. We want children who are first righteous and holy, then learned, skilled, and industrious, and finally discerning and well-mannered. So the mark aimed at in Christian education, with the Lord's help and as best as we can, is to glorify the Lord and raise up children which will be fruitful in his service, just as the parents ought to be. Now, you can't do that by sending your children to the government school system. You can't do that. It won't be done. You say, well, I think it'll be done good enough. Well, good enough for God, huh? Who gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Good enough for that God. Good enough for that God that it tells us in Romans 8, he gave his own Son, and how will he not give us all things that are needful to us? Good enough for that God. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So parents are to present their lives to God, lay their lives on the altar, and present their lives to God, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. It's just our reasonable service. And we're not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, so that our minds will be the mind of Christ, so to speak, so we know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our lives. Now, how do you square with that verse, sending your children to the government school system? If you are to present your own life, your own body, all of you as a living sacrifice, and then do you then take your children and put them on the altar of Baal? There is no spiritual discernment, if that's what you think. There is no wisdom from above. That's not godly knowledge. That's not obedience. These scriptures are powerful. If you can't see how they apply to the education of children as well, then there's something very, very wrong spiritually. And there is something very, very wrong spiritually in this country, in the evangelical church, because most children are in the government school systems. And most pastors are either mute, or they have this system they've worked out where we have many homeschoolers in our church, and we're very supportive of homeschoolers, and some people send their children to Christian school. We're very supportive of that. We also are very supportive of our children in the government school, and we help them and equip them so that they can be missionaries in the government school system. It's like John Patton, if he would have had any children at the time, sending his children over to the New Hebride Islands to the cannibals and saying, you know, go on in there and be a good witness for Christ there. They would have ended up in a stew pot, or they would have ended up totally corrupted by those heathen, and they would have ended up heathen themselves. I mean, it's absolutely, absolutely outrageous, so to speak, the situation. Now, it should be beyond controversy among Christians that the state school system is a place filled with the unfruitful works of darkness, no matter what glimmers of light may be mixed in here and there. The education of children is a high calling and a holy duty. If we're going to employ others to educate our children, that's not like working with unbelievers in the world or doing business with them. No, no. If we're going to employ others to educate our children, that is entering into a solemn partnership with them. It is a yoking together to disciple a young person spiritually, academically, morally, and spiritually in word and in deed. It is a fellowship then for the sake of forming the character and educating the mind of the child. And surely Christians must take heed also to this, Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And then finally, I could, of course, go on for some time with this issue, but I want to point out that all those who freely send their children into the state school system cast a vote in favor of that ungodly system. And more than that, they signal their satisfaction and support for that system. To willingly give your children over to that system for many hours a day is to de facto declare this system, this institution, and those who run it and teach in it are worthy of my confidence. In token of that confidence, I give into their hands and into their care and into their influence and to their teaching mine own child, my own child, my own precious child, heart of my heart, my flesh and blood, the child entrusted to me by the Lord. That's what it is. It's a declaration of that, and publicly. It's a support of a system that ought to collapse, but you're propping it up. You're voting for the system. You're voting for the worldview. You're voting freely to support that system. I'll close with two very short points. I've spoken plainly of the duty of Christian parents in the education of their children. James 4, verse 17 says this, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." There couldn't be any plainer application of that verse and to what we've just talked about. For the parents, yes. Also for the pastors. The ministers of the Lord's flock have a duty to watch over the souls entrusted into their care. The education of children is not just an academic issue. It is clearly a moral, religious, and spiritual one as well. The state school system is ungodly, immoral, and it is a blasphemous system. And shepherds have a holy duty to protect the lambs of their flock against that real, present, and extreme danger. They have no excuse that they acquiesce to the children of their church being in the government school system. And it's the duty of ministers also to seek the glory of the Lord and the good of all of his people. All of his people. In light of just what we've talked about today, I shouldn't have to say anything more to convince even the skeptical that ministers have to take a strong, open stand against placing children, the children of Christians, in the state school system. And those who refuse are derelict in their duty and apparently short of love for the children of their flock. And again, I don't care what that makes me in some people's eyes. I don't really care. There's children at stake. The glory of God is at stake. The good of the church is at stake. I don't care. I really don't. And secondly, ministers and all the Lord's people in the local church must make the education of children more of a priority and give it the attention it deserves. It's not a priority with the church in many ways. Off to the government school system, and maybe there's a little Sunday school, which can be good or bad, in the church. That's it. It needs to be made a priority. Those parents in tough situations, including single parents who genuinely need help so that they can remove their children from the public school system or the government school system and give them a godly, biblical, proper education, should have it. They should have it. That's our commitment in this church. If you're in our church, you will not have your children in the government school system. This is not the place to go to church. This minister won't have it. For a time until you make the right adjustment, but I won't have it. I can't in good conscience have it. I can't sleep at night if I know what's going on. I would be derelict in my duty. But by the same token, this church is committed to help anyone that needs, genuinely needs help. I mean, there are single parents. Whatever the situation, why they're single, they're single. That's their reality. They might need help. You know, there are situations where there's help needed. And I believe larger churches should strive to have a Christian school. If there's a need in the congregation, And if it's possible, if they're larger churches, it is possible. Almost any size church could have at least some combination of home education and education provided through the church as needed, more or less depending on the size of the church. And I believe that homeschool groups are good to support one another, speaking of homeschool groups, but you must join with people that have a solid doctrine and that they don't have to have the exact same doctrine, everything that this church would have, but there are things that they must not hold to or be involved in. You must take care. Now, I don't hesitate to state that it's a reproach upon the church and it's an offense to the Lord that so many children of Christian parents are being educated by the world and even by the enemies of Christ. It ought not to be so. And it has to change. And people have to speak up. Everybody's afraid to say what they ought to say and do what they ought to do. May God help us to not hesitate in this matter. It's true love to speak truth in this matter. It's love for the Lord first. It's love for his people. It's love for those children. It's true love. And we need to speak out. And we need to speak out now. It's so very, very serious. So we will just pray that the Lord would be pleased to use this message toward that end.